So I think we try to advise folks to kind of take into account the total package. Don't really pay attention to the valuation and then ignore everything else.
Right.
A lot of times the more attractive deals can actually be at a lower valuation, but the terms are more favorable to you.
Hey there, and welcome to a brand new episode of Delivering Marketing Joy. I am your host, Kirby Hossman, and joining me today is a brand new rock star. I'm fired up to dive into the topics today. He's the practice lead and M&A services for Punctuation. They help small and mid-sized businesses go through the sales process of selling their business. Jonathan Baker, thanks for being here, man.
Hey, glad to be here.
Dude, I'm really actually fired up to just talk about this. I think, you know, so many times we're talking to marketers and entrepreneurs on this podcast. And so, but we don't spend a lot of time on what I think a lot of entrepreneurs, often their goal is, right? And that's sometimes to sell the business that they've built. So those who are entrepreneurs, they build a business and sometimes they do have that dream of selling. And so, but you know, I think sometimes we don't really understand all that goes into it. It's more than just putting a for sale sign out. So from your perspective, how do buyers determine the value of your business if you want to sell it?
So the short answer is that it really depends on the buyer. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different types of buyers out there. And it will... you know, what they value in your business will change depending on what their goals are. Mm-hmm. You've got strategic acquirers, you've got holding companies, you've got private equity, and then sometimes you have just like the next generation. That could be someone internally who wants to take over. That could be, you know, a solo entrepreneur who's wants to take a next step and buy something to build. You know, strategic acquirers could be looking for someone in a similar vertical. They could be looking at your client roster because they want to cross sell. They could be looking at your staff if you have a highly specialized staff or a senior staff. And then they could also just be looking at complementary services. So obviously there are plenty of, you know, calculations that go into valuing a business. But at the end of the day, it really, like, every deal is unique in that every potential buyer that comes is going to be looking at your business slightly differently. However, I do have a kind of a list of a few things that I tell clients to focus on, because these are the types of things that would come up in evaluation. So, first, magnitude of profits. So the amount of money that you're generating, right? It's an obvious one.
Yep.
Generally, the closer you can get that to $1 million or above, the better it's going to be for you and the easier time you're going to have, just because the buyer pool is going to be opened up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Your positioning, how tightly you are positioned, that affects your multiple. Your profitability, so the, you know, are you making 20% on that revenue? Are you making 30%? Are you making 10%? That is kind of a degree of risk to a buyer. How much kind of cushion do you have?
Yeah.
And speaking of risk, your client concentration. So if you have one client that's 50% of your business, that's that represents a pretty big risk to a potential buyer.
Right.
Recurring revenue, your location, and making sure you have repeatable processes, repeatable new business. And then in general, last but not least, you want to just make sure that the business is less reliant on the founder, so that when the founder steps aside, it's not going to kind of all go to hell.
Yeah, that's, I think that's one of the things I see with small businesses really struggling, because everything, and again, mine included, right? I drive a lot of the activity in our business. That's why those processes are so important, because if I go on vacation or I can't go on vacation, well, then I can't really sell the business as if it's a very good asset, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I've seen you talk about the importance of terms of the deal, which I actually saw somebody, Cody Sanchez, who's an influencer, talks about selling businesses in the influencer space. And she had kind of mentioned this too. So when I saw this from you, I thought it was interesting. The importance of the terms of the deal. Can you talk about why terms of the deal can be more important even than your valuation?
Well, first, I want to mention that I am also an influencer. I'm an influencer, a flannel influencer. So
I've heard that about you. I appreciate you keeping your shirt on for today's show. Let's go.
You're welcome. So far, so good. So the valuation is really a point in time number. This is, you know, if you were to sell the business in all cash, this is what the business would be worth.
Right.
The issue with that is, particularly in the marketing services space, is that deals are rarely all cash.
Right.
You know, they can vary from 0% down to 50% down. That's kind of usually the range. And if you get above that, you're doing great, but it's still rare. So that remaining amount, that 50 to 100% of the valuation, is really contingent on the terms. That could be your continued employment. That could be your ability to retain a key client, maintaining or growing profitability, growing top line revenue. And terms also dictate, or can dictate, I should say, your lifestyle kind of post sale, right? So, you know, you've been running this business for however long, you're used to being your own boss. Now you're locked into something and you don't get paid until you kind of complete the check boxes. The terms dictate how long you're going to be required to stay, what your duties will be, what your new salary will be. A lot of times you don't end up with the same salary.
Sure.
And you certainly don't have the distributions that you had when you were running the firm. So I think we try to advise folks to kind of take into account the total package. Don't really pay attention to the valuation and then ignore everything else.
Right.
A lot of times the more attractive deals can actually be at a lower valuation, but the terms are more favorable to you.
Yeah. The valuation can be a little bit of an ego game, right? Like we can get tied up in, but it's worth more than that. Well, it doesn't matter, you know? So I think that's really good advice. So, you know, I think we've talked about it. The selling can be a dream, but I think it can be tougher than we talk about. And you kind of alluded to it a little bit in that last answer. Can you talk about the emotional toll that selling a business can take?
I can. I don't know if I can talk about it without crying, but... No.
Yeah, it can be tough.
It's a grind. I liken it to kind of the process of buying a house, or the process of dating. If you're not just dating for fun, if you're dating to try to find a partner.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're buying a house, you are, every house you visit, you're trying on that house, right? You're trying to imagine, what is life going to be like if I purchase this? The same is true if you're finding a buyer for your business. You're imagining, what will life be like if I sell to them? And, you know, the further you get down that road, the more real these images become in your mind. So it's really easy to get excited, to get despondent when a deal falls through. And I think one of the mistakes we see owners make a lot is that they lose focus on running their business.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you really have to approach this as if a deal will never happen. You want to make sure that the business is still running well, so that if something falls through, you aren't completely screwed. You kind of hope for the best and prepare for the worst, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think that selling the home can be a little bit, it's not the same, but certainly it's a good analogy, because, you know, you think about all the times that you have to clean up your house and get it ready, and okay, they're interested. They've got, or maybe even have an offer on the table, and then something happens and it gets sideways, and man, you know, once you've made the mental decision to go down that road, it can be devastating when it doesn't pan out. So I would think that selling the business would be even a higher emotional toll than something like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, just financially, it's usually a much bigger deal than selling a house. I mean, selling a business is, you know, it's your entire retirement usually kind of baked into one single event. And so there's just a lot of emotion, history that kind of goes along with that. You know, you also think about, you start reflecting, I think, on your time in the business and all the things that you've been through together and the culture you've built. And you start, then you start worrying about, well, what will the culture change? Will I lose employees? And so you can kind of get in this spiral, which is why it's important to, I think, have some really good folks around you so that you're not kind of living inside your head throughout this process.
Man, I think that's good advice. Okay. Final question for you. We talk about the idea of selling, but sometimes selling is not the right. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. So how do you guys advise an entrepreneur to know when they should sell and when they should say, no, just keep going, keep building?
Yeah. And let me also kind of caveat that sometimes the goal is that's not necessarily the choice is sell or build. It could be sell or continue, you know?
Yeah.
There's this there's this stigma in America where we're focused on growth and building, and that's not always best for everyone individually.
Good point.
I think, you know, the idea of selling and riding off into the sunset is the American dream in a way, but it's also kind of an American fiction.
That's a great point.
So, you know, we advise our clients to really revisit the reasons you started the firm. What did you start the firm for? Was it lifestyle flexibility? Was it because you didn't want a boss? You wanted to make a good living? You wanted to make a difference in, you know, the lives of your employees or in the businesses that your clients represent? And usually it's a combination of some of those things.
Sure.
But, you know, the amount of money someone sells a business for is usually a life-changing amount of money. Mm-hmm. And so what does that money allow you to do, right? And how do you want to spend your time after you sell and after the earnout? And then do you have enough money to do that?
Right. Yeah.
And if the sale will give you that, then it might be a good time to sell. If the sale will not give you that, then let's think about how to get to there and if your business is a key part of that, right? Now, if you're just completely burnt out, that's something different. We you know, get out for that reason. There's also some analysis we do, and sometimes it's really interesting to see that people would be better off financially if they don't sell the business than if they do sell the business. And this is, I think, particularly true if you are, you know, a very profitable firm. So if you're at 30% or above profitability, or if you are paying yourself above market salary plus distributions, maybe you've got some family members on payroll that you're not quite sure you want the IRS to find out about, but you know, you're finding ways to funnel some of the money into your pocket. But if you sell, those ways go away as well, right? You get your salary, sure, for the hours you put into the business, but anything beyond that goes to the new owners. So we just want people to understand that selling is not the only option, right? Yeah. Which is a little counterintuitive because my job is to sell businesses. But really what I want is the best for the person. I'm a business owner myself. I've been through the process myself. It's just a lot. And it's kind of this, you know, mystical process that people only go through once in their lives. And so they don't have to become super familiar with it, right? Because it's a one-time thing.
That's cool. Well, if somebody wanted to learn a little bit more about punctuation or you, where would they go?
You can go to our website, punctuation.com/marketingjoy. Actually, we got a little page up for this podcast. And on that page, you'll be able to contact me directly, ask some questions, you know, learn a little bit more.
That's awesome. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much. This has been very interesting, very enlightening, and we'll have to chat again sometime, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Kirby.
You bet. Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of Delivering Marketing Joy. We'll see you next time. Delivering Marketing Joy.